Colossians in chapter number 1. And again, I'm not going to speak long. I want to get to our testimonies. Just want to give us some direction this evening, if we could, and for the season. And we live in a time where everything about America is more and more becoming secularized. And what Thanksgiving is to most people is turkey, football, and shopping. That's most people's Thanksgiving. I mean, that just sums it up in those three things. And I do like the turkey. I do enjoy football. My wife, she does all the shopping on Black Friday. I stay home with the kids. That's like the one time a year I'm like dying to stay home with the kids. I'm like, I'll just go. But she likes the shopping. But honestly, the day was established as a day of thanks to God. Not just thanks to, you know, just one another, but thanks to God. And so look at Colossians chapter 3. We'll just read chapter 1, and we'll read down through verse number 3. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Notice who the thanks went to. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The thanks went to God. And that's where thanks is intended to be given, is to God. Thanksgiving Day was made a national holiday in 1863 by President Abraham Lincoln, and it celebrates, he established it to celebrate the feast the Pilgrims had after their first successful corn harvest in 1621. Many Americans fail to understand what Thanksgiving is all about, and honestly, we fail to just be thankful a lot of the time. But that's what Thanksgiving is about, being thankful to the one true God. And that's what it was. What it was celebrated as on the first Thanksgiving, and that's what it was established as by our President Lincoln. The Pilgrims, one of the Pilgrims, Edward Wilson, wrote a letter before the feast to let a friend know of the successful harvest. He said this in the letter: "These things I thought good to let you understand, that you might, on our behalf, give God thanks who had dealt so favorably with us." There used to be a thankfulness by people for that which God had given to them. And if you go back and you study, the days of the Pilgrims, go back 100 years ago, all the things that we just take for granted today, it wasn't because they just had an easy life that they were like, man, life's so easy, we ought to be thankful to God. They had a very hard, hard life. When you go back to the 1600s, they have a difficult life, and I can't wait. I'm excited to hear Miss Glosser tell her testimony. I look forward to it every year. Amen. But there's people in this room that didn't always have plumbing in their house, and that's just a reality. And so when we're talking about them, and they're writing their friends, say, hey, listen, God's provided. God's been good. It wasn't because they just had such an easy life. No, they just had a greater understanding of from whence everything they had came. They had a good understanding of that. And there's an ongoing attempt to cause the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, basically any holiday, to simply secularize it to where we take God out of it. And understand with me, this holiday especially was established for the giving of thanks and praise to God and God alone. He's worthy of our praise. Thanksgiving is not just about friends and family, although that's the time when we would want to be with our friends and family. It's about us getting together with them and showing forth to one another. And I pray that when you go home and whoever you meet with on Thursday, that you would take time once again to just go around and share maybe even more in a more personal way that you couldn't even share in this corporate setting, how thankful you are to your spouse and to your children and to God for all that He has done, all the good things He's done for each and every one of us every day of the year. He does good things for us. And we can look through the Scripture and we can see some certain things that we should be thankful for throughout the Scripture. I think, and I hope everyone here tonight, we could stop and say, first of all, we're thankful for our salvation. I hope you can say that tonight. I'm thankful that I came to a point in time where when I realized that I was a sinner, but there was a God that was so good that before the world began, He knew I was going to sin. He knew you were going to sin, and He determined that His Son was going to come and pay for the sins of the whole world. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I did a lot of foolish things, and God still forgave me. And I'm thankful that even though I'd heard the gospel multiple times, over and over and over again, I finally got to a point to where I realized that this isn't about me. This is about Him, and this is about me understanding what He's done for me. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God didn't stop working on me. And you need to just understand with me. Don't ever give up on anybody with the gospel. Don't ever give up on anybody with the gospel. You say, I've been witnessing to this family member. I've been talking to this individual. Maybe it's your kids, and you got to force your kids to come to church with you. I'm telling you what, don't give up on the Word of God. Don't give up on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm often reminded about the book of Jeremiah. And how God said, man, the word of God is not the word of God. Or Jeremiah, as he was talking to the nation of Israel, he said, the word of God is as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And I just want to encourage you tonight, don't to ever lose the joy of your salvation. Don't ever lose the fascination of the fact that God saved you from your sin and understand how much of a knucklehead you used to be. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home with a gospel preaching father, and I was 18 years old before it finally clicked in my head that, wait a second, that I need the gospel. It's not just for the world, it's for me. And it took me a little time to come to that realization, but I think we can look in the Word of God, and I think we should be able to say it. We're thankful for our salvation. And second, we should be thankful for the countless blessings that we're given. God has undeservedly bestowed on us blessings every day. It doesn't matter if you're here today and you're lost tonight. You don't understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the blessing of salvation. I want you to understand, you receive the blessings of God today. God richly blessed you today. You're breathing His air. You're not walking under your power. You're not living under your power. You're living under His grace. And God's bestowed His grace unto all men. And listen, God's bestowed His forgiveness unto all men. And God stands at the ready to forgive all men of their sins because He's a God of grace. And he bestows on us blessings every day. So many things you did today you didn't even think about. A number of things. You got in your car, you just decided it was going to start. You got to school, some of you, and you just expected that the school was going to be there and that you were going to get an education today. But that's just not the case all over the world. No, God's blessed you. You went to the bathroom, and praise the Lord, you pulled that handle down when you were done, and things disappeared. Blessings. Blessings. Amen. You're waiting. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's coming. And I'm excited about it. It's coming. But I heard somebody say downstairs there, we weren't worried about the cough that somebody else had because they had to mess with raw sewage today. Blessing, I didn't have to do that today. Praise the Lord. All things I had to do. I just understand with me. You have countless blessings in your life every day. And you can just ignore them and you can act like it's just life and it's just no big deal. But listen to me. When you understand where these things come from, it should cause a sense of awe and a sense of thankfulness in your life when you consider the countless blessings that a merciful God has given us, and that He gives us far more than we deserve, and probably far more than we could ever even comprehend, that He does give. Chronicles 16 and verse 8 says this: "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." You should be going around talking to people about how good God is. I was at a recycling place here in town on Monday, and was talking with one of the workers that were down there, and he had no clue I'm a pastor. We're just talking, and he says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a Christian. I don't mind telling anybody around here that I love Jesus Christ. He didn't know who I was. He wasn't just bragging to me because he was a pastor. He had Christ inside of him. He wanted to let people know about it. And listen to me, when you have God inside you, you should have a desire to make that deed known. When God's blessed you, you should have a desire to make it known among the people of what God has done. You should have that burning desire inside of you. And third, and this is the last I'll give tonight. I said I wasn't going to be long, but we should be thankful simply because He commands us to be. He commands us to be. Should be cause us to go, you know what? I'm going to find something to be thankful. I know I mention this often, but David said, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed." He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. And we certainly sometimes we get a critical eye. I know I can. And everything we see is through an eye of criticism. This wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough. They didn't do good enough. They aren't doing their job. They didn't accomplish what they were supposed to accomplish. And we could look at everything critically, or we could look at things with a bountiful eye. And just look for God to be a blessing. You know what? If they did the best they could, it probably somebody else could have done it better. Probably could have. I mean, I guarantee you, somebody probably could preach tonight better than I could. There's probably no doubt. But listen to me. If somebody has done what God's told them to do, and somebody's doing the job that God's given them to do, listen, we should be able to sit around and be thankful that they're being obedient to God. They're doing what God's asked them to do. And I promise you, God didn't ask any one of us to sit around and be the critic. Come on, He's not looking for everybody. Hey, I'm going to give them two thumbs up or one thumb up and one thumb down. I'm going to give them three stars. No. He's not looking for you to be the critic of Christianity or of other people's lives or the things that are happening around you. God would desire that you would have a bountiful eye as well. Psalm 100 says this: "Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Bless His name. You should have a thankful heart towards Him. He's commanded us to do so. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, everybody's favorite verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God." The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. It's a command for you and I as a believer that we would give thanks unto the Lord. That we'd be thankful for what God's done, that we would lift up His and praise His name and let His deeds be known among men, for He's so good to us. I mean, it's a command. We should, as the children of God, be excited to fulfill the commands of God. It should. When we've been told to do something and we do it, it should cause us to be excited. It should cause us to be happy when we've been obedient unto God. Not only does God command us to be grateful people, but He also condemns unthankfulness as sin. In 1 Timothy 3:2, look over in 2 Timothy. Look over in 2 Timothy with me in chapter number 3. 2 Timothy in chapter number 3 says, it says this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. That's a condemned attitude. To be unthankful for what God has allowed you to have. To be unthankful for what God's given. Should never be said of the child of God. That's said of them who are in sin. That's said of them that are not walking with the Lord. If we would say, I'm just unthankful. Thankful attitude. Where we were born. I'm telling you. Well, you got to be born in America, or God's brought you to America. And I'm telling you, every one of us are blessed beyond our wildest dreams, honestly, in this world. And even those out here that say, I don't have anything. I'm telling you, if somebody doesn't have something in America, it's because they've made some choices that are causing them to have unfavorable circumstances. I tell people, listen, McDonald's is always hiring, and you might not have the greatest life ever working at McDonald's, but listen, if you wanted to have a fruitful life, listen, it's out there for the taking just because of where you're at, just because of where you're born. We got to get back to, in America, to an attitude of gratefulness, not because life's easy, not because everything's handed to us on a silver platter, but because God's given us the strength to get out and work. And God's given us the ability to get out and provide for ourselves. And God has given us so many blessings to be able to take care of us. I'm telling you, we've got to be more thankful for what God has done. And I'm going to take a drink of my peppermint tea here in a minute, all right? Oh. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have the so here what I want to do is I want to just